أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن يوم الفصل كان ميقاتا يوم ينفخ في الصور فتأتون أفواجا وفتحت السماء فكانت أبوابا وسيرت الجبال فكانت سرابا إن جهنم كانت مرصادا للطاغين مآبا لابثين فيها أحقابا لا يذوقون فيها بردا ولا شرابا إلا حميما وغساقا جزاء وفاقا إنهم كانوا لا يرجون حسابا وكذبوا بآياتنا كذابا وكل شيء أحصيناه كتابا فذوقوا فلن نزيدكم إلا عذابا إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. الله سبحانه وتعالى He starts by talking about the Day of Judgment. And the previous ayat were basically talking about the Day of Judgment and how it will occur, or the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the fact that He has the ability to bring about the Day of Judgment. Now, specifically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the Day of Judgment itself. Allah says, "In the yawm al-fasli kana miqata." Indeed, the Day of Decision, it is a fixed time. Al-fasl means decision, and this is something which is used in many languages. In Urdu we use the word fasl, fasla karna, which means to make a decision. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that has been fixed. Miqat, it is, the root word is waqt. And of course that is also something used in many languages. Miqata, it means a fixed and allocated time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, despite the fact that He has not given us the knowledge about when the Day of Judgment is going to occur, He knows when it's going to occur, and it has already been fixed and has been allocated. On that day, Allah says, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. On the day when the sur will be blown, the trumpet will be blown, and you're going to come afwajan. Afwajan means in armies. The word again, fauj. In Urdu we use the word fauj also. It means army or in a great group. So in the day that the sur will be blown and you're going to come in armies. So the sur, as we know, is going to be blown two times. One is to destroy everything. Everything will be destroyed. Even the angels will be told to die, and they will be dead. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will declare, لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ, whose kingdom is it today? After everybody and everything has been destroyed, only He will remain, and He will ask the question, whose kingdom is it today? And there will be nobody to answer Him, and the response by Himself will be, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, the All-Powerful. So, this nafkh which has been mentioned here is the second nafkha. On the nafkha, the blowing, which will be the second one which will be done, where all of the people who have been dead for many centuries, they're going to be put back together again, and they're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer how they spend their lives. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا, and the skies will be opened up and they will become like doors. There will be doors opened up into the skies, and the doors, the purpose behind them is to let the angels come through. Angels will be coming through, and this is the purpose of the abwab and the doors which have been opened up into the skies. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا, and the mountains will be made to move and they will become like a mirage. So this again is talking about when the original destruction is taking place. There are various ayat which talk about the destructions of the mountains. Some talk about the mountains being dispersed, some talk about them flying about like cotton wool, and some, as this verse says, it talks about the mountains becoming like a mirage. So the scholars say that that will be different stages of what is going to happen to the mountains. At some stage they're going to move around, at some stage they're going to be floating around like cotton wool, and at some stage they're going to look like a mirage. So sarab means a mirage, meaning that when you look at on a hot day, you'll look into the distance and you will see the reflection of water on the roadside. Even when you're driving sometimes on the highway, you look ahead of you and you see water, but when you get there's nothing there. This is called a mirage. So the mountains are going to look like a mirage, that a person is going to think that there are mountains there, but there is nothing there actually in reality. So وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالِ, the mountains are going to be made to move, and فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا, they're going to be like a mirage. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا, indeed Jahannam, indeed the hellfire, it is a mirsad. Mirsad, it actually means that when a person, he is an enemy of somebody and he's lying in wait for him to pass by and he wants to attack him. That is what al-mirsad means, that a person is lying in wait for somebody and just wanting to attack that person because he's his enemy. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used that comparison to show that how the Jahannam, the hellfire, is waiting for a person, for that person to come in and enter, just like an enemy who is willing to attack. So mirsad, the root word is ra, sad, and dal. So inna jahannama kanat mirsada, indeed the Jahannam, the hellfire, it's lying in wait. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا, it is a ma'ab, it is the abode, it is the end destination, the final destination for the persons who are transgressing. طَاغِين is from the word طُغْيَان, the people who did طُغْيَان, meaning they transgressed, and ma'ab, it is from aba ya'ubu, which means a place where a person returns to, or he descends to, a person who where he comes and he stays. This is known as ma'ab. So ma'ab, the Jahannam, will be ma'ab, it will be a destination for the people who did tughyan, who transgressed. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا, they're going to stay there for many huqb, they're going to stay there for many, many centuries. The word huqb, it is, in Arabic, it means, century upon century, many, many years. There are differing opinions about what huqb actually means, and various scholars have said that, for example, Bashir ibn Ka'ab says that it's mentioned that one huqb is equivalent to 300 years, and each year is equivalent to 12 months, and each year it has 360 days, but each day is equivalent to 1,000 years. Okay, in the yawman عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُونَ, based upon that principle that yes, it will be so many years that a person will be in al-huqb is equivalent to 300 years, but 300 years, it might have the 12 months and it might have 360 days, but each one of those days is equivalent to 1,000 years. So if you can imagine, if a person is staying for ahqab, which is the plural of huqb, then how many years is going to be staying there? For thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Even if a person died as a Muslim with Iman, but he is sent over there for a punishment, he might stay there for centuries and thousands of years. So it's not something that should be taken lightly. And there are various riwayat which talk about al-Uqub meaning for so many thousands of years. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا, they're going to stay there for all of these centuries. لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْضًا وَلَا شَرَابًا, they're not going to taste any bard, any kind of cold or any kind of drink in the hellfire. So لَا يَذُوقُونَ, the root word is ذَوْق, and to taste something. فِيهَا, in it, in Jahannam, بَرْض, it means cold. وَلَا شَرَاب, شَرَاب means any kind of drink. So they're not going to get any of that. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا, what will they get? After asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thousands of years, what they will get is hamim, boiling water to drink, and غَسَّاق, they're going to get غَسَّاق, which means the all of the melted, you know, fluids which are melting from the bodies of the people of Jahannam, the blood, the fat, the sweat, and everything else, the pus, is going to be accumulated in one place in Jahannam, and that thing is called ghassaq. That thing is going to be given to the people of Jahannam as a nourishment. So if you can imagine how a person can, you know, can bear that kind of thing, it's something that if we shudder just to think about, then what should we be doing to avoid that kind of thing is living a life where we will not be punished in such a way. So illa hamima wa ghassaqa, the only thing that they will get is hamim, boiling water, and ghassaq, which is this thing that we've just talked about, the melted body parts and blood and pus of the dwellers of the hellfire. Jaza'an wifaqa, an equal punishment, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He punishes, it is not as a dhulm, but He punishes according to the person's dhulm and a person's disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the question is, that you might have is, a person, he lived for 70 years, 80 years, 100 years, and he was disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how come he's going to be punished forever and ever? So the answer to this is that if the person had lived forever and ever, then he would have disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forever and ever, and he would have been a kafir forever and ever. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to put that person in the hellfire forever and ever. And this is not something that it could be regarded as dhulm, because people were warned about it and they were told about it. And when they are told and the warning is there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't punish without giving a warning. So the warning has been given, and the punishment, it will be eternal. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا, they were such people that they didn't think that any hisab or reckoning is going to take place. They thought that if they die, then they're just going to turn into soil, and you know, nothing is going to become of them. They thought there's not going to be any questioning on the Day of Judgment. Okay, they thought that there's no life after that death. So إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا, they used to think, they didn't have any hope of any kind of reckoning or any kind of hisab. وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا, and they rejected our signs, they rejected our ayat continuously. So this is known as maf'ul mutlaq. كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا, they continuously, they rejected the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They continuously rejected the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be punishing them. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا, everything, we've gathered it, we have accumulated it in a book. Everything has been written by the angels which are on your right and left side. Everything has been written. A person will look and he will say, مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا, what kind of book is this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in front of me? It didn't leave any small thing or any big thing, except it gathered it and it accumulated it. Everything has been recorded of my life, and things that we might even forget, but that book that Allah will place in front of us, it will not have forgotten. Everything will be recorded. So Allah says, وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا, everything we have gathered it in a book. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. So taste. Taste. What are you going to taste? The punishment. لَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. We will never increase for you anything except for the punishment. The punishment is going to increase and increase and increase. But, you know, there will be no chance for anybody to get out from there, except of course if a person is a mu'min, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes him out because of his iman, otherwise a person will be in there eternally. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the people who have taqwa, the people who are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how they will be accounted for, and how they will be rewarded. Allah says, Inna lil muttaqina mafaza. Indeed, for the people of taqwa, the people who had taqwa in their lives, they will be complete success. Mafaz, it is from the word foes. They will be successful. And this success is the success which is eternal. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازَ. The person who is saved from the hellfire and he is entered into paradise, then indeed he has become successful. It's in Surah Ali Imran. Here Allah says, indeed, the people of taqwa, they're going to be successful. They're going to get success. What is that success? حدائق وأعنابا. حدائق, which is the plural of حديقة. حديقة means gardens. They're going to get gardens of paradise. وأعناب, and grapes. This is the plural of عنب, which means grapes, meaning they'll get the grapes and the fruits of Jannah. They're going to get so many different varieties of fruits, and they will be given fruits which they knew that they used to get in the worldly life, but they will be different in many ways, in the taste and in sort of the appearance. Allah says, وَأُوتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا, that they are going to be given مُتَشَابِهًا, things that they used to get, mangoes or grapes or apples, but they will look at them and they might look at the same as they did in the worldly life, but when they are tasted, they will taste completely different. So they're going to get hada'iq, gardens, and a'naab, and they're going to get grapes, the fruits of Jannah. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابًا, and they're going to get the damsels of paradise, the women of paradise. The word ka'b, kawa'ib, is the plural of ka'b, and ka'b means anything which is swollen. Okay, that's why the ankles, they are known as ka'bain, because they are swollen from both sides. They're known as the ankles. So here it is referring to the women of paradise, that their chests will be swollen. They will be, they will look very beautiful. And because, you know, it is something that men like and appreciate in a woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless them with these beautiful women who will have the swollen breasts, and they will be beautiful, and their beauty will remain the same. So the question many people might have is how, the Quran is basically talking about sexuality. Of course, we as human beings, we should understand that there is nothing wrong with sexuality within the right confines. Because we have a husband and a wife. When they have intercourse, there is nothing wrong with it. Something completely halal. And not only is it halal, it is something that a person is rewarded for. He gets a reward for sadaqah, for having intercourse with one's own wife. So the sahaba, when they heard this from the Prophet ﷺ, how come a person, he fulfills his desire and yet he gets the reward? The Prophet ﷺ said that if he does something wrong in the wrong way, then he's going to get a sin for it, right? So similarly, if a person fulfills his desire in the right way, he gets rewarded for it. Okay, so when the person is fulfilling his sexual desire within the confines of Sharia, this is something commendable. And many people, particularly the Christians, they have this issue with the Prophet ﷺ. Many hadith talk about the fact that he had intercourse with his wives. Or there's one hadith which says that the Prophet ﷺ, he had intercourse with all of his wives in one night. Okay, so they have a big objection to this. So there's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with that. It is something that a person, as a human being, is allowed to do, and he is commended that he should do that. There is nothing absolutely wrong with it. Many people are brought up with this idea that intercourse or sex is something which is dirty, which is not the case. Like I just said, It is something of a natural thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all the desire to do, but that desire has also been, we have also been told how to use that desire, like I said, within the confines of the marriage. So Allah, when He talks about sexuality in paradise, this is something that we should not be ashamed of. It is the place of Jannah is a place where a person's all of his desires will be fulfilled. Okay, and part of a person's desire is a sexual desire, that a person's desire will be fulfilled in Jannah. And this is why Allah talks about Hurul Ain and so on in various parts of the Quran. And it's not done in a very bad or a dirty way. It's done in a very subtle way. The wording is very subtle and done in a very nice way, that a person, he has the desire and eagerness to go to Jannah, and yet it is not obscene in any way, shape or form. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. Kawa'id meaning the women will have swollen breasts, and ataraba, the word atarab is the plural of tirb. Tirb means that the women will be the same age as a person. Okay, so the person, it is mentioned in riwayat that a person will be around 33 years old when he's in paradise. The women also will be the same age. Okay, or it can mean that they will remain the same age. They will never get old. So one of the things about the women in our lives, what happens? That of course when you initially get married, the women are young, but as you get older, the woman gets older too. But the women of paradise, they will never get old. Okay, and the person who is in paradise, he will never get old. Okay, so he's going to stay the same age. The women are going to stay the same age, so they don't, you know, become ugly as they age and so on. So the women, they will be the same age. Atarab, like I said, is the plural of tirb. Okay, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا, and the cups which will be continuously flowing. Okay, so we have in another verse of the Quran, there will be four kinds of drink that will be given, or four kinds of rivers in Jannah. There will be the honey and the milk and the water and sharaban tahura, the wine which will be pure and will not make a person drunk. Okay, so these are the four kinds of drinks. So Allah says that these cups that they'll get, they will be dihaqa, and that they will be continuously flowing, and they're going to be continuously filled. This is what it means by dihaqa. La yasma'una fiha laghwan wala kidhaba. In Jannah, a person is not going to hear any kind of laghw, any kind of falsehood, or any kind of lies, or any kind of cursing, and any kind of fighting. Jannah is a place where people are going to be at peace, and the only thing is salam and salama. They're going to say salam to each other, and they're going to be engaging in peaceful talk and enjoying themselves. They're not going to be any backbiting, any fighting, or anything of that nature going on in Jannah. So لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا. They're not going to hear any kind of لغو, any kind of falsehood, nor any kind of lies. جَزَاءً مِّن رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. This is a reward from your Lord. It is a'ta, it is a gift which has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an equivalent. Now the question is again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He expects us to be good human beings and practice, and we do what we can in terms of being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but yet the reward is multiplied so many times. Okay, so the paradise is multiplied so many times. Again, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the appreciation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He will give us much more than we deserve. Okay, so this is what Allah is going to give us in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us all there, inshallah. After that, Allah says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَ الرَّحْمَنِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. So the conversation goes back again to the actual Day of Judgment. Okay, so it started with the Day of Judgment, and then it talked about the people of Jahannam, and it talked about the people of Jannah, and now it goes back to the conversation about the Day of Judgment. And the surah, actually the word Naba, it is actually about the Day of Judgment. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. What are they asking each other about? They're asking each other about النَّبَأُ الْعَظِيمِ, the great news. The great news, what is the great news? That is the Day of Judgment. So the subject matter was the Day of Judgment, which is discussed, and we go back to that again now. So, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is the Lord? The Lord is mentioned in the previous ayah, جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. It is a reward from your Lord, it is a complete reward, and a calculated reward. رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Who is the Lord? The Lord of the heavens and the earth. And whatever is in between them, He is Ar-Rahman, He is the Merciful. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. And on the Day of Judgment, nobody is going to have the ability to talk to Him. Nobody will be able to talk to Him except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person permission. Otherwise, nobody is going to dare to talk out in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا. On the day when a ruh and the angels will stay in lines. What is a ruh? There are differing opinions about what a ruh is. One is, it's related from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, that it refers to the arwah of the children of Adam, meaning our souls will be there. The next understanding is from Hassan al-Basri and Qatada, they say that it is actually, it refers to the human beings themselves, not their ruh, but the human beings themselves. And third understanding of that is, it is a creation from the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are looking like the children of Adam. They look like human beings, but and they're not even malaika, and they're not human beings. And this is a riwayah of Ibn Abbas and Mujahid. And the fourth understanding is that a ruh refers to Jibreel alayhi salam, and this is the opinion of Sa'id ibn Jubayr and Bahaq. And the fifth is that it is another angel, it is not Jibreel alayhi salam, it is another angel, which is from the angels. But this angel, it is equivalent to all of the creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. It's such a huge angel. So there are four or five different opinions about what a ruh means. On the Day of Judgment, when the ruh and the angels will stand in saf, in lines, in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَانُ وَقَالَ صَوَابًا. Nobody will be able to speak, nobody will be able to talk, except for that person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rahman, gives permission. And when he does talk, when the person does talk, he will only be able to say the right thing. He will only be able to say the truth. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ. That is a true day. That is a day that will occur for sure. There is no doubt in that whatsoever. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. So whoever wants, he should take an abode towards his Lord. He should turn to his Lord and make the ibadah of his Lord a purpose of his life. He should make the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the purpose of his creation, and he should make his life according to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to live, and he will make a ma'ab, he will make an abode with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Finally, in the last ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنْتَرُنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. Indeed, we are warning you about a punishment which is very close. So, again, it is close to us in what way? Maybe the Day of Judgment, maybe thousands of years away. But when we die, our punishment will start. Okay, if we die in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment is going to start straight away. Or in comparison to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the fact that He's lived eternally, thousands of years are nothing in comparison to that. So everything is qareeb when you take it with that comparison. So we are warning you of a punishment which is very close. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَنْ قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ. On the day when a person will see what his hand sent forward, meaning he will see what the deeds that he did. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. And the kafir, he will wish that I had remained as soil. He will see that what happens is, it is mentioned in the riwayat, that if a goat with horns or a sheep with horns, it did dhulm upon a sheep with no horns, the one with no horns will be given horns, and he will take his revenge on the Day of Judgment, and then both of these will be turned into soil. Okay? So when this kafir, the disbeliever, sees that, he will wish that, I wish that I was turned into soil like these two goats, these two sheep, and I would not have to deal with living in the hellfire for eternity. So this is what will happen on the Day of Judgment. وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. The kafir will say, I wish that I had remained as soil. Or it could mean that what he used to claim to the Muslims when they used to say that you have a life after death. No, I'm going to die. I'm just going to turn into soil. My body is going to disintegrate. I'm not going to, there's no life after death. It's just fairy tales. On that day, he will wish that what he's been saying is true and he had no life after death, because he will see the punishment in front of him. With this, we finish Surah An-Naba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.